Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Tax Moves with Glenn Birnbaum. Glenn, how you doing today?
Hey, good, Casey. Just came up a little bit of a rain here, so we're still out of the fields in our area. But
yeah.
So I've unfortunately been reading some tax stuff today, you know. So.
That sounds like a great thing to do on a rainy day. Read some tax code. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So tax days are with. You kind of got your catch your breath here for a little bit, but not totally because there's still a lot of stuff hanging out there that you don't clearly have defined as to what you can or can't do. So there's going to have to probably be some guys that are going to either the extensions that they file, they're going to have to be relooked at or they're going to have to refile based on what comes out of this stuff here. So talk about some of this. You brought up before thing, there was some frequently asked questions on the IRS website that really gave you no information.
The FAQs. So on apparently, I'm not sure anyone noticed this on April 11th, which was, the Friday before April 15th. So on April 11th, they released, I think, like 21 new questions and answers. So it's up to like 33 questions and answers on 199A, pretty specific questions. You might think that they would, have a news release or something, but it was, I guess it would have been last Saturday. So it was like over a week that I'm not sure anyone noticed that this, they had all these new guidance. And then people started looking at a few of the questions and answers, and in particular the last one, question 33, it's causing some concern for pretty much any sort of S-Corp business owner that we have that also is covered under health insurance, by their business, which would probably be most of them. Now, we don't see that the answer is correct, and it's a little vague, they say generally speaking, but they almost make it seem like the health insurance that the business would pay on behalf of the owner employee, that's a deduction, right? It's a business expense. It's a deduction. But for this 199A purposes, this QBI, qualified business income, the answer appears to say you would deduct it twice, which is a bad thing. You might think that's a good thing, right? Because, hey, deducting something twice is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
But if you deduct it twice, you have lower QBI. Then you take 20% of that lower number, you're not going to get as good of a deduction. So it's actually a bad thing to deduct it twice. We're like, but they very clearly say, they use the word both, and they say, deduct it at the entity level and then again at the individual level. So we're not sure where they're coming up with this, but it gave some people some concern because I don't think, I haven't met anybody yet, preparers around here or other preparers I've talked to that would have done that, automatically or explicitly, because it just doesn't make any sense. So we're trying to figure out, is this just an error? It happens, right? Things can get messed up, but it's concerning that they released like over 20 new questions and they didn't really tell anyone about it. And then when people start looking at them right now, the people have more time, right?
Mm-hmm.
More time on your hands. You start looking at the IRS website and you say, hey, what's this about? I didn't see this before. So that's the big news in the tax world here. Pretty exciting stuff.
It almost makes you think they released those not telling anybody because they kind of put them out there and they didn't really know how to answer them either. So they kind of force it through.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, this was, I think, on April 19th, saw this on an email post I subscribed to, that they also put out a very little blurb on how you deal with farm income averaging, which we've talked about, farm income averaging and this 198 deduction. And suffice it to say, we're confused, but I didn't want to get into it, but it's very confusing what their response is about how these two work together, and it seems to make no sense again. So...
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems to be developing a pattern that they're trying to, I think, address some questions that they're getting, but they're not detailed enough or they're vague enough or we're not sure, we're left wanting more. Okay.
Right.
We know there's potentially a question about how you handle qualified business income and how you handle the farm income averaging rules, and hopefully we'll get some more hard guidance on this. Hard guidance is, you know, actual proposed regulations, final regulations. Soft guidance is like, you know, kind of just things on the website, these FAQs and that. So we're getting this soft guidance, which is not quite comprehensive enough. So anyways, where I think we're kind of waiting to see, at least I'm waiting to see if, you know, the website's going to just kind of all of a sudden just change the answer one day. Maybe not, you know, explicitly tell anybody, but just all of a sudden that answer will be changed. So,
right. That's a big enough impact on the overall. I mean, especially talking about farm income and how co-ops are handled and everything. I mean, just that's got to be something that they have to be pretty mindful. I mean, don't you think? I mean, you think they're that perplexed by the rule they put up? They can't figure out their own logic. Is that kind of where you're?
I don't know. I mean, it is a little concerning. Now we are hoping to get the proposed regulations on the grain glitch fix here in the next few weeks. And potentially that would also maybe address how you deal with this with farm income averaging. So maybe it'll put that to bed, but I'm not sure why they kind of, in effect, I mean, posted something on April 19th in that farm income averaging case, you know, when, I mean, there's not many people that are going to really use it for any reason, you know, until a little later. So I'm not, I mean, it just seems to be rushed out a little bit. So,
yeah.
So that's a deadline. The other interesting deadline I read in another post was June 22nd. And June 22nd would be 18 months after President Trump signed the bill. And apparently there's just a rule that says, hey, any sort of final regulations, you know, to get those passed and out by June 22nd, 18 months after, then it's okay that the IRS can pretty much, and they can change their mind on this a little bit, but they can make it go back to January 1st of 2018, you know, retroactive back to day one. So I'm looking forward to this. Maybe just it's a deadline that's out there. It's not an absolute deadline that's needed to be met, but it's a deadline that they could use to say, hey, let's try to get some of this guidance out by June 22nd, just so we can make it, you know, retroactive back to January 1st. And hopefully, you know, if the final regulations aren't that much different than the proposed regulations, everyone was following the proposed regulations when they're filing the returns, you know, because that's all they had to go off of. Maybe it's not a big deal. So I'm just kind of hoping it maybe accelerates getting some of this guidance out. You know, sometimes you need a deadline, right, to get something done.
Get something done, absolutely.
So that's a couple months on that, so.
So what's the idea here? I mean, so this 199A thing has been kind of going on and on and on and on. I guess, is it that complex that they can't come up with a suitable remedy to what they created, or is it bigger than that? I mean, I guess, well, I'm confused why it takes so long to get.
Yeah, are you talking the grain glitch fix, in particular the grain glitch fix, I assume?
Right, yeah.
You know, we're not sure. I mean, we've talked about this a few times on the podcast because, you know, they fixed it. I mean, it took a while for them to figure out how to fix it. You know, it took a couple, 3 months to, I think they relied on some CPA firms to provide some guidance on, hey, how should the actual statute be written, you know, the actual code section be written. And now then they've got to write more details underlying it. And it's surprising that it took, you know, over a year to do it. So, but maybe one of these things is they're trying to deal with how you deal with farm income averaging or something. So it's a little concerning, but hopefully it's just that, you know, despite how significant this is for ag, it's a pretty narrow set of taxpayers, right?
Right.
In a general rule, they would rather deal with the normal 199A, right, that affects many more taxpayers, and they got proposed regs out and final regs out by like the end of January. So that was, you know, pretty good. So that when we were doing the tax returns, we pretty much knew what the rules were. So they kind of put that one on the back burner.
Yeah.
But who knows? It just gives you a little concern.
Okay. One thing that I was curious about that I wanted to bring back up, just been on my mind here for the last couple of times, and I just now remembered to bring it on here. But so I'm kind of putting you on the spot, Glenn. So get ready.
All right.
If the we're talking about the floor plan interest thing, and there was a tractor trailer involved, and if the tractor part you could floor plan, but there's a different set of regulations and rules for the trailer part of it. Is anything come from that? Anything change there where they kind of narrowed that out?
Nothing yet. That's the 163J rules. They had the public hearing in February. A lot of people wrote in or even testified to that effect, and that's hopefully one of the final regulations that would be out by June 22nd is what I'm hoping.
Okay.
Because that's a big one. And it probably will be pared back. I mean, what we're hearing is right on the proposed regulations, you know, they make them a little more IRS friendly. You know, then the final regulations, they take comments and they're going to back off on a few things. And so that's what we're hoping. So there were definitely several returns extended. Manufacturers, we talked about, there's an issue with depreciation. Maybe you don't actually get to add back depreciation back to determine even to determine your interest limit. So, yeah, we're hoping that we get some guidance on the final regs by the summer. But so the answer is really no, nothing new on that. And likely if it was an issue, you know, you may have extended your return to just to give you more time to wait on the guidance. So,
so what happens with all this here? You made your estimated payment on April 15th, and you finalize your extension, and you do everything, and all those rules and regulations come back out, and you end up owing more than what your estimated amount was, right?
Yep.
There's going to be interest charge of that, and normal interest is about, what was it, 0.5% a month and 6% penalty or something like that?
Yeah.
So how's that work? Is that, is you just, sorry about that, quick before we get that out?
They could, it's pretty rare, they could try to say, well, we'll give you a pass, you know, if you were, I'm not aware if that's happened too recently, but I suppose it's possible they could grant relief, you know, for manufacturers or certain taxpayers regarding that. But I guess, you know, what the IRS might say is, hey, you should have just paid in the kind of worst case scenario, right? Assuming, you know, you couldn't deduct any of that interest and then, or, you know, whatever the rule might be and, you know, deal with the consequences later. Because, you know, if you paid in too much, then you just apply that overpayment right to your quarterly estimates. I mean, they could say that. But yeah, maybe they'll grant relief. It's a possibility.
Government, so. IRS. Don't get me started. Get me started, Glenn.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Anything else going on that we need to be aware of here? That, I mean, a lot, like we talked about a lot of big things that are happening and all the different stuff out there, but, you know, you're running around pulling your hair out, kind of time is over, and now you're just kind of doing the, looking, kind of picking up the scraps, so.
Trying to get caught back up, again, hopefully we'll get some, if we get a little more clarity on a few of these things, then we can really, you know, turn our attention to some tax planning, right? Because right now, if we don't really know what the rules are, it's kind of hard to do much planning, so.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right, Glenn. Well, lots of stuff going on. Folks want to reach out to you and pick your brain, ask you a question, maybe get pointed in the right direction. How'd they do that?
Yeah, it's best to call our office here in Heinle Banworth. The phone number is 309-694-4251. Or you can always follow me on Twitter at Glenn Birnbaum is my handle.
Going on. All right, make sure you guys reach out to him too and check that out on his Twitter handle. There's a lot of good stuff going on back there, and when this one hits, I'm sure there'll be all kinds of chatter about all the different stuff going on and everybody chiming in on that. So I also want to remind everyone to go to globalagnetwork.com, and if you create an account there, you can go through all the content that's there, all the different podcast content that's there, and you can pick the ones that you really want to listen to, and those will show up in your inbox. So check that out as a new feature, and you'll be alerted to when those new episodes hit. So Glenn, thanks for being on. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Casey. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Nellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here.